Good evening, everyone, and thank you for supporting Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. Well, as I was saying on the other side of your headlines, one of the greatest bands in the history of rock and roll has got to be Led Zeppelin. Once called the New Yardbirds, well, we can thank Keith Moon for giving them their name by saying they'd go over like a lead balloon. And Led Zeppelin was born. Jimmy Page was the guy that put it all together. But we've got a Jimmy Page joining us. That's right. Brian Christensen will be on the phone with us shortly. Brian is the Jimmy Page guitarist, co-founder of No Quarter. No Quarter is a national Led Zeppelin touring group, a legacy group, if you will. And you can follow along at their website to find out more about them at www.noquarterlegacyband.com. Well, they're going to be performing at the Hard Rock Cafe this coming Friday, May 31st, 9 p.m. showtime. Well, let's give you a little sample. This is No Quarter performing the Rock and Roll National Anthem. All stand.
Let's go.
international anthem of rock and roll, Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll As Done There by No Quarter. National touring group paying tribute to the Zep, and Zep is no more, but the music lives on, the legacy lives on through bands such as No Quarter. And, you know, I know there's a lot of different tribute groups for a lot of different artists out there. It's a big thing these days with the tribute bands, but when my friend Carol Kay of KS Productions says, "Tom, you got to talk to these guys, they're the best," I take her word as gospel. So we have Brian Christensen on the phone with us. Brian is a guitarist and, as I understand, co-founder. Just like Jimmy formed Zeppelin, Brian formed No Quarter. Brian, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much.
I am excited to hear the story that has Carol so excited about you guys. I mean, there are so many tributes, and I want to find out what makes you guys the best of the best. So let's start with where are you all from?
We hail from Seattle, Washington. I started the group after seeing Page and Plant in concert at the Gorge, beautiful place down on the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. And what blew my mind was when they did No Quarter. It just went right back to Madison Square Garden during Song Remains the Same. And it hit me so hard that I told myself that that's the name I'm going to call this band. And so I started with that and posted ads, found musicians that were amazing. And I was able to talk them into the idea of, not just performing, not just playing the music of Led Zeppelin, but actually like kind of like an actor would come into a set, like a movie set, when you're preparing for a role, really go all out in character.
Well, and, I noticed
to do it.
In your pictures, you're wearing the moon and stars, big bell bottoms and everything. You really capture the mood and the look.
Oh, thank you. I had an amazing designer. You can't go wrong when their last name is Cashmere. So Brenda Cashmere is the one who designed my outfit for me, and she's worked with Queensryche and Heart, members of Heart. So she really knew what she was doing, and we dissected the film Song Remains the Same. And what's funny is she actually put stones. She noticed that there were certain parts that fell off of Jimmy Page's outfit and restored them. So I actually have I think Jimmy would want this if he was going to do it again. He would probably steal it from her.
Wow.
It's a great outfit. She did an amazing spot-on job on it. I'm blown away by it.
Now, playing out as you do and crossing the country back and forth and always being on stage, I've got to think you've probably got a couple of those outfits.
Yes, absolutely. You have to. So yes,
I would think so, and that's got to be a little
and
costly.
On new ones too.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it is. There's a budget definitely for it, and you're like right now we're working on the 1975 outfit that he wore in the Earl's Court. It's the black Chinese dragon outfit. It's actually on display at the museum in New York with the guitar museum. They've got the mannequin wearing this famous dragon outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next one that's being made. So there's a lot of detail that goes into, tons of photos, tons of research, and trying to figure out what sort of material to use, everything. It's amazing.
Now, you mentioned it was after seeing Page and Plant perform, and they were performing back in the 90s together, long after the Zeppelin thing was done. How long has No Quarter actually been together then? Has it been 15, 20 years?
Yes. Yeah, it's been about 21 years now.
Wow.
We actually lasted twice as long as Led Zeppelin did, because they were only like 10 years, I think, and then the band unfortunately had to end. So, and I definitely attribute it to the music. Hearing the music is what keeps us going. It's a different, there's a magical moment every night on stage for every member. They get their shining moment, especially during Moby Dick, or the powerhouse drummer that comes into play,
right?
During the acoustic set when John Paul Jones shows his talent as not only being an incredible bass player, but and then also during the keys, but also sitting down for the intimate acoustic set, he shows his prowess on the mandolin and acoustic guitars and stuff. It's great. There's just so much music there that it never gets boring. It really doesn't.
It's interesting that you wave the flag for John Paul Jones, because so many people don't. He's like the forgotten member of Led Zeppelin. He's like the afterthought, like Charlie Watts and the Stones or Bill Wyman.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about Bonzo's drumming. It's all about Page and Plant and the magical chemistry they had. And poor John Paul Jones, who was probably one of the greatest musical geniuses of the era, is kind of sidelined.
Well, he was the one that wrote Black Dog. Mm-hmm. He's the one who came up with the riff, you know, and you can hear, well, what's really cool, if you listen to some of his solo stuff, you can hear that influence, like, okay, that's the component of Zeppelin that, you know, there's a lot of Jones, especially his arrangements and stuff, how he came up with things. So, yeah, he is definitely the unsung hero and just an unbelievable master. And, I mean, that, ironically, really hit the nail on the head, trying to find... There are lots of people influenced by Jimmy Page on guitar. There mm-hmm. are a lot of drummers out there influenced by John Bonham. Trying to find someone that's influenced by Jones and can play the instruments that he plays is a rare find. I mean, there's a lot of talent wrapped up in that guy, and it shows. I mean, that's one of the key, not even, you know, finding, of course, the vocalist that can hit the notes Robert Plant hits is in and of itself also an almost an impossible feat. But I lucked out. I just really lucked out and found great talent.
Well, you're John Paul Jones is Chad McMurray, correct?
Chad McMurray is one of the cast members.
Okay.
The other cast member is Robin Loxley, which is, ironically, we were in Australia and he wasn't able to go on the East Coast. And so we found, I not only found one, I found two John Paul Joneses. So Robin Loxley is our bass player. On this side of the country, basically. And it's really weird. They're about the same size. They play the same way. You know, they're the same as far as the multifaceted instruments. It's unbelievable. I could not believe I could find it. And it was there was a huge scheduling problem. We had an East Coast tour, and Robin came into it. So Robin is in our group now. But ironically... one of our cast members did actually, Chad, he actually did get to meet John Paul Jones himself. And at a concert, and he grabbed he had a photo of us, a big poster, and Jones signed it above his character. He looked at us, and even he looked at each character in this picture, and he goes, okay, that's pretty scary. And then he signed off on it, like, you know, wow. Gave his autograph on it, which is, how many people can say that?
Right.
You know?
Did he get a chance to hear anything that you guys did?
I think he's heard of us, but I don't know if he actually did. We were really reluctant to do any audio stuff on Led Zeppelin for a long time. I don't think we had anything done at the time. We recently just came out with a CD that's getting ready to hit. We were like under the impression, why bother with any music? Because it's already out there.
Right.
But a lot of fans were saying, no, we want proof. You know, there's the proof in the pudding that you guys really do sound close to, you know, really close to these guys. And so that's why, the only reason we ended up going in the studio doing it. So mm-hmm. at the time, we didn't have a CD available. So I don't think he heard us unless he's heard of us. It's weird because we're always like one degree away from somebody. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just really weird. Like someone goes, I know Jimmy Page. And I swear, when he hears you guys, he's going to flip out. You just go, you know, he's going to love it. And I'm like, wow. You know, and there's always that one degree away.
Right.
We actually did get, you know, it was one degree away because our friend in Soundgarden, Ben Shepherd, was the one who took Chad to this concert that they were at and got him backstage. So that's how he got to meet his character.
Wow.
So it's just like one degree away, somebody there, you know. And ironically, Ben went to England and did a concert, and the next thing he sees, got his arm around Jimmy Page with a shot. So it was like I say, one degree away. We're not kidding. It's
That's
funny.
Cool. Well,
yeah, it is. It's really cool.
We're kind of one degree away tonight as well because I'm very good friends with Deborah Bonham, John's sister.
Wow.
I just saw her when she was out on the tour with Jeff Beck and Paul Rogers. Paul's a friend, and he took us all back, and I had a chance to meet her a few times now. And she has donated items to my animal charity. And Jason Bonham, I've done a few shows with him, and we've shared the tour bus a couple of times back in the day. Not so much anymore, but back in the day. I just kind of wonder, has, you know, obviously his Led Zeppelin Experience tour is second to none. Have you had any feedback from him? Because I know he tries to check a lot out.
To him. I wish we've ironically, again, that's the thing. It was like we've played venues that he's played at, and we found out, well, Jason was here. I go, oh, wow. What, you know, and we like missed it or mm-hmm. whatever. So I never got the chance to meet him yet. I caught part of his show. I was watching it on YouTube, and I loved it. It was my favorite part of his show was when he did Moby Dick and his dad was behind him drumming.
Exactly.
And they're playing, and then he realizes he can't keep up with dad, and he just folds his sticks and just affectionately looks up at dad. You know, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, no one can do that. What's so cool is there's so many tribute bands. Like Jason's got his tribute too, and it literally is his experience growing up with his father's band. You know, and it's just a different take on it. You got other groups that'll go out there, and you know, 7 to 8, 9 people sometimes on the stage, and they'll cover like the studio tracks, and so they'll have 3 or 4 guitarists because of all the overdubs that Jimmy does in the studio, demonstrating the amount of work it probably took for them to make a song. We've heard for the last, you know, 50 years. You don't think about it until you see that on stage, you know, and it's really cool. And what we do it a little bit to set ourselves different is, what would it be like to actually see them on stage and studying the mannerisms and stuff and, you know, going into more of a theatrical role of this is what it would be like if you saw them live.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's all the same band, but so many different aspects of what the music is like. And
right.
It's not a conflicting or competitive thing, I don't think. I don't look at it that way. I just think it's another chance for fans to hear a different side of Zeppelin. You know, it's kind of cool.
Now, we were talking about Jason, and I remember him telling me that he started drumming at age 4. Dad brought him a drum kit, and we were hanging out one night, and he was talking all about that. And he would sit, and you know, Dad was on the road a lot of times, and he would sit and he would practice and try to impress him when he came home and say, "Look what I learned," kind of thing. That makes me wonder, for someone to be able to replicate that kind of dedication and stuff to songs, because the Zepp guys were playing forever. Jimmy was playing forever. And still is, obviously. How long have you been playing? And was guitar your first instrument?
It was. Yeah, guitar was my first instrument. I started when I was a kid, in you know, junior high. And you know, I just locked myself in a room. And back in the day, it was albums. So you know, I locked myself in my room and stacked quarters on the record needle and ruined every album my brother had on Led Zeppelin, trying to slow the record down so I could hear the solos.
Uh-huh.
And it paid off. I mean, I have a privilege of doing it for a living because of it. But he's since been paid back. But I ruined every, you know, we just sat listening to, and I, you know, I feel like he was basically my teacher, as he is to influence the thousands of other, millions of other guitar players. Jimmy was definitely my teacher when I think about it. I just, you know, I'd go one note at a time until I could, you know, get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a few summers in the bedroom and, you know, and then you get it. And then you see him play live. Like the song Remains the Same was another huge instructional for me because I can see him play. And then even, you know, even when I saw him at the Gorge, I was like, oh, that's how the Wonton song goes. You know, I was like sitting there trying to figure out parts because he's playing it right in front of me. I was like, that's how it is. No wonder I couldn't figure that out. You know, and it's cool. You know, even today, I mean, I saw him at the O2 Arena. I mean, I saw the film when it came out.
Right.
And even then I'm like, wow. So that's how he does that one part. You know, he's still teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, it's humbling to have such a great teacher, I can say.
We are talking tonight with Brian Christensen. He is the Jimmy Page of No Quarter. They are a Seattle-based Led Zeppelin legacy band, a tribute band, that is coming to the Hard Rock Cafe in Chicago this Friday, May 31st. And again, I got the time right, correct? 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be going on at 9. So it's in Chicago, and it's so awesome to come back here. We played a few years back at a big festival, and you know, just coming back to see Chicago again is just such an honor. Love the city.
All right. We were talking about John Paul Jones and how he had his fingerprints all over the song Black Dog. And again, if people just tuned in, I want them to hear that we're not just talking about Led Zeppelin. You're not just talking about the show. We're going to give you a chance to hear what No Quarter sounds like so that you can make your educated decision and say, you're right. They do sound like Zeppelin. So let's give it a shot. This is Black Dog by No Quarter. We'll be back with Brian right after this.
Hey, hey, mama, said the way you move, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. Stay.
Walking the dog on the lakeshore. Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Coming to Chicago, the band you just heard. Now, if you just tuned in, you're probably saying, wow, Led Zeppelin's coming to Chicago. No, they're not. But the next best thing, no quarter, is at the Hard Rock Cafe this coming Friday, May 31st, 9 p.m. showtime. We have got the guitar slinger, the six-string wizard, Jimmy Page of No Quarter, Mr. Brian Christensen, founding member of the group, with us on the phone, and we're going to play another cut in just a bit from them. But Brian, let's talk about the show that people will see at Hard Sure. Rock Cafe. Now, I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, because you know what they say about people who assume, that you do the full
Oh, yeah.
the full gamut, from Zeppelin 1 to Coda. Are you doing a little bit from everything, or do you guys specifically pick certain LPs to replicate from start to finish? How does the show work for you?
Well, it's we want to, you know, reach out to all of the fans. And what's fun is, you know, there are some fans who are just kind of new to Led Zeppelin, believe it or not. They're just, you know, in the next every generation as it keeps going, there's new people coming into the fold, so to speak. And mm-hmm. you know, so we've got some fans that are saying, "Oh my gosh, you're playing the song from the Cadillac commercial." You know, I'm like, "Wow, yeah, we really are. Yeah, that's why we do it," you know. And they but you know what, they are there, and by the end of the night they get it, and then they're going out making, you know, doing downloads for Zeppelin, and mm-hmm. that's really cool. So hats off to them for just showing up and being there. But then there are the diehards. There are those that come that know every inch of every part of Led Zeppelin's history, you know. So for them, we'll go deeper. We will dive into like the film, and okay. we'll pull something from the movie The Song Remains the Same, and we'll do it in its entirety. So we you know, we keep in mind that not everybody gets all of Led Zeppelin. They're new to it, maybe. They just hear some songs they've heard on the radio and they want to go have a good time. But we do know that there are those, a lot of them, that are really entrenched. It's, you know, it's part of our DNA. Mm-hmm. And so we're playing to them too. So we'll do, you know, like Dazed and Confused is one we'll be performing for sure, from the film.
Okay.
So there's, you know, the moments, you know, the thing about Zeppelin that really set them apart to me was their live performance. The studio albums are amazing, of course. There's nothing, you know, they're just iconic. But the thing that made Led Zeppelin was their concerts, their what they did with those tunes and how, you know, they embellished on the improvisation and things that they did. That's what made them, you know, world famous.
Mm-hmm.
What? So we embellished on that.
You know, a lot of people claim Led Zeppelin is like heavy metal. What's your take on that? Because a lot of people are on the fence post because they use a lot of acoustic-based instruments, the mandolin, the keys, yeah. the acoustic guitar. To me, that's not metal. Now, they might have elements of metal in there, but to call them a heavy metal band, I think, is a disservice. That's my opinion. And as someone who plays their music, what do you think?
I agree. I learned that, especially, ironically, the song you just played, Black Dog. I learned that in the studio because I was like, there's not a lot of distorted guitar. In heavy metal music, you'll hear the guitars, the gains turned up huge on the guitars, and there's a lot of heavy distortion and power chords and stuff. That's not on Led Zeppelin. What Page would do is he'd have it amped up a bit on the guitar, but there's more like volume. And then he would later layer tracks. Like just that riff in Black Dog, I, after doing research, was Les Paul and a Telecaster recorded four times to make that riff.
Hmm.
And then they were panned on both sides of the stereo spectrum. So yeah, you're hearing a Telecaster and a Les Paul married together to get that riff. And there wasn't a lot of distortion on it. So it's not I think they were a heavy band, but they had that heavy sound without all the gain of a heavy metal band. So could they have influenced, obviously, the heavy metal scene? Absolutely. Just like they influenced the hard rock scene and the acoustic scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were kind of everything. I really do. They played blues. They played rock. They go into jazzy bits. They go into everything, you know?
Right.
That, to me, that's Led Zeppelin.
Is there a definitive Led Zeppelin album for you? What is the album you would refer a novice that said, hey, I like what you're doing, I want to learn more about them? What album would you direct them to?
I would say at least two albums. I'd go to the second album, for sure, with it nicknamed the Brown Bomber. I mean, there's so much rock and music on that album. It's mm-hmm. just unbelievable. And then definitely, I'd say the fourth album for sure. because of how it was. To me, the fourth album was their Sgt. Pepper. That's when everything changed. They were, you know, the first two albums were pretty, you know, you had a blues rock, blues based rock album, the first album, a little bit more blues, but more of a rockin' second album with that heavier sound. And then the third album seemed mainly acoustic. There was a lot of acoustic numbers on it. And they were extra funny, as they were ridiculed for that. But then the fourth album is that perfect blend. It had everything. You know, it had rock intent, it had the ballad Stairway to Heaven, it had the the epic drums. Probably the most epic drum beat in the world is the levee breaks, when the levee breaks.
Right.
And, you know, all of that's done. You can't really define one album or two albums. It's the Physical Graffiti is like a culmination of everything. That's like their white album.
Right.
It's just their masterpiece. And, I mean, I love all the albums, but I would say those three probably jump off the charts for me. And if you listen to live stuff, then it goes a whole new direction. But those, I would say on the studio albums, those would be my favorite choices.
Now, with all the albums in their catalog to choose from, you could play all night long and not get through all their songs. So how do you keep it fresh for both you and the fans? Do you ever stick in some really deep cuts, like, say, Poor Tom, or even a novelty tune like Hot Dog, just to break it up a little bit so it's not, so you can see the surprise on people's faces, say, wow, I haven't heard that song in 40 years?
And the answer is yes.
Okay, short and sweet.
We surprise ourselves sometimes that when we're doing rehearsals, because someone will, hey, what about this? Bam! And then we're off on We're Gonna Groove out of Coda.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, wow, you know, and we just decided to play it and everybody knew it. And it's one of those moments. The nice thing is when you're touring, it, we're starting to get to is in the fall, we're going to be playing double shows in the same city at the same venue. So what's nice is we can flip the whole set list around. I mean, we'll keep, of course, Stairway to Heaven for the fans, but mm-hmm. everything else is interchangeable. So, you know, you may hear When the Levee Breaks one night, and you may hear In My Time of Dying the next night. And they're both epic jams. So it's just, and you're right. We've tried playing all the music, and it goes up to 3.5 hours or more. We're close to 4 hours one time playing. And we just scratched the scratch of what they've done.
Wow.
So, yeah. That's why Zeppelin concerts went so long. They just kept playing all their songs, and they got to the point they didn't even need opening bands. Their concerts would stretch on over 3.5 hours without even a break. Those guys are amazing. We'd rather play an extra night or two in an area and then cover more. That's what we're focused on. That's my focus.
Okay.
In the coming days.
On average, how many dates a year are you out there playing?
We just got done playing 24 dates in 2 months in Australia. We just got back at the fall. So we're going back again for another 15 or 20 dates in November, and then going out again in June back there. And then I would say we're close to 80 dates so far. Before this year ends, I think we'll hit probably 80 shows, maybe higher. The shows keep getting added. I mean, we just had a tour agency that wants to pick us up, and they're talking 15 to 20 shows in October in the southern part of the United States, and then next year they want to do between 30 to 40 at covering 31 states. So it's really weird. We're just on the rise, so it's usually every time I throw a number out, more gets added to it. So I'm kind of cautious because I do have a family that wants to see me and recognize me.
Right.
But you know what, though? It's like it's just something that's such a privilege to do, that we all agreed as a band that we're going to play and go out and hit it all. And we'll probably end up flying out our wives, family, and, you know, others to just come out and see us while we're out on the road, because we're just going to be hitting it. Now, we just got an offer for Ecuador that just came through, and we're heading to Ecuador in February, and then we're going to the UK. And it's crazy how it just picks up. Every time we hit a stage, someone will see us, and the next thing you know, it just starts to spread. It's cool.
Ecuador,
a lot of Zeppelin fans.
Ecuador seems like a far out place to play. What is the one location that you've already played? I was going to say, that's just, I can't imagine somewhere further out than Ecuador, but have you played any more exotic places? What's one of the places you've been shocked to say we played?
Well, one guy, the one that blew me away, honestly, was a guy wanted to hear us, and I thought, well, okay, I'll send you a link. And so I sent him the link, and he goes, no, I want to hear you. And I go, well, where are you coming from? He goes, I'm coming from Sydney, Australia. And so he flew all the way to Seattle, Washington, from Sydney.
Wow.
To check us out. And then he turned out to be the promoter, and he brought us back to his country. And so we just got done playing there. That was beyond anything. I mean, that was going to another world, mm-hmm. going down there. I mean, you know, there's so many different animals and such, you know, just seeing a kangaroo walking along the side of the road or hopping, you know, or herd of them blows your mind. And you're like, wow, we're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
Right,
you know, I'm
right.
literally telling each other that, you know, and it was a wild place. It really, the exotic animals, the things you see there. And then the coastline, you go to the coastlines and it's like paradise. You know, it's unbelievable. I'm pinching myself. I'm like, I get to do what I love. I get to play my favorite band on stage, meet tons of new people. They become friends. After a while, it's family. You know, we've gone, right. this is our third time ready to go back. And, you know, what's neat is like these concerts turn into reunions where, oh, wow, I haven't seen you for so long. How's the kids? And it's really cool. And so it's a movement. It's like a Zeppelin movement. We call everybody affectionately Zepp heads, like the Deadheads.
Right,
There are a lot of Zepp heads out there, and man, they're great. Wow. And it's the energy they generate in a room hearing their favorite band, because it's our favorite band too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it feeds us, and it's like, wow, this is going to be a great night. And it's always different every night, but the energy. You know, we played a sold out show one time in midwinter in New York, and I swear they melted the snow. The energy was so amazing from the crowd. I couldn't believe it. It was just unbelievable. So, yeah, you get to meet a lot of faces and see a lot of people and go to places, and it's phenomenal. It's just, I pinch myself. I just can't believe that this is all really happening.
Wow. You can catch them here in Chicagoland, just a stone's throw from Northwest Indiana. Of course, we're about 30 minutes from the Loop, and they'll be at the Chicago Hard Rock Cafe on Friday, this Friday, May 31st, 9 p.m. show. I'm talking about No Quarter, the international. I've been calling them a national Zeppelin tribute. They're an international Zeppelin tribute. And we're talking with Brian Christensen, founding member, Jimmy Page of the band. And Brian, you've opened for many artists. We've already talked. You've played all over the world. You've opened for many national artists. What's it like to? It's rare for me to see a tribute band open for like a headliner. And I know you've played with Nazareth and a few other bands,
yeah.
Kansas. What's it like to? What kind of response do you get? Some of these guys actually know or knew the Zeppelin guys.
Yeah. Nazareth, the bass player, ran up to me. They invited us back to their green room. And he's like, where's that Jimmy Page? And he grabbed me, ran with me, picked me up in a bear hug. And he's like, I know him. And I thought you were him. And I was just like, he was so kind. And we got to hang out with them. Peter Frampton we've opened for Peter Frampton.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas was really great. Eddie Money was really cool too. He goes, guys, I know Led Zeppelin. I seen him, you know, when he came to New York. And he puts his arm there. You know, we're like little kids, you know, in front of these people. You know, we go to that, you know, because they're famous. They've
right.
done it. They're real stars. They're the real, you know, we love what we do. And I realize that we are a tribute band. You know, we go as close as we can to them. But these guys are the real, real stars. And when they pause to talk and share their experiences, I'm just, you know, I'm blown away. I'm, you know, Eddie Money said, just please, all I ask is don't blow me off the stage. I'm like, oh, come on, dude. come on. And he's just like, no, I'm serious. I saw your sound check. Please, just be kind to me. And I'm
wow.
like, wow.
That's
you know,
cool.
They're really confidence builders because, you know, I think they know we're nervous hanging around people that you know, they were on our album covers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they would watch their MTV videos back in the day, and we've seen their concerts, and here they are in front of us, whether it's Loverboy, whether it's Nazareth, whether it's Starship, whether it's Molly Hatchet, Kansas. I mean, all of them were just wonderful. Steppenwolf, those guys were really cool to us.
Mm-hmm.
They were just great people. And they're just great guys. You know, I had a chance to meet Alan White, drummer for Yes, at one of the concerts we were playing at. And
you know, he used to drum for a really great guy. He used to drum for Plastic Ono Band as well, John Lennon.
Yeah, yeah. He was on Imagine.
Yeah.
He was the drummer for Imagine, the song Imagine, and telling me stories. And just these guys are legends, you know. And I got a chance recently to meet John Anderson, the voice of Yes, mm-hmm. and talk with him. And he's talking about how he knew Robert Plant and how he smoked his first funny cigarette with Robert Plant and couldn't remember his name. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking that this is the guy that, you know, all good people, you know, roundabout. Right. He's standing there. And, you know, you go into giddy mode and you realize they're just regular people. They're just really, really cool people.
Mm-hmm. That's like people in your audience meeting you guys after the show. To them, it's the same kind of thing. You're the guys that travel the world. You're the guys that were just on that big stage, knocking everybody out with your music. So, I mean, you are, to that sense, to a lot of the younger artists.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for us, we love to meet the people after the show, too. That's one of the most thrilling parts for me, is because there are people who come from they've got their Led Zeppelin story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to hear, we told our story on stage. You know, we're telling what we're about and why we do what we do. Because, I mean, I started this band because I was just broken up that John Bonham died and my favorite band was No More. And I never got to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw half of them when I saw Page and Plant. But for me, that's my story. This is why we're doing what we're doing, because I'm trying to fill a void that hit me years back and has never been filled. It'll never be filled, obviously, but there's some Band-Aids at least, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so it helps. And for me, it's something I do. I really enjoy doing that. But the fans, after the show, when we've told our story through our music and our performance, we get to hear their stories. And so we're at the merch booth talking with them. We're talking for, you know, a long time. We'll sit there and talk. People will come up and tell us how they saw Led Zeppelin back in the day, and they met Jimmy Page at a castle, and they got to hang out with them, or they saw Robert Plant at a tea shop and hung out with them and talked, and, you know, and the stories are amazing. You know, everybody's got a story.
What,
and for us, we like to hear them.
What are your thoughts on Robert Plant's reluctance to do a Zeppelin reunion? All the other guys have been willing to do it and have said so. Jason said, I'd love to sit on the throne and drum my dad's parts, but Robert keeps saying no. Now, obviously, as long as he's not doing it, you guys have a guaranteed income because people are going to keep coming to see you because they can't see anything else. But what is your thoughts as a fan? And do you think he should do it? I mean, what do you think?
You know, I think Robert realizes that he is in competition with himself today as he was when he was 19. And at age 19, when he first joined Led Zeppelin, you know, he was unbelievably different. He's still amazing, mm-hmm. and there's nothing saying any different. But I think he's just kind of moved past it. And I get it. I get why he doesn't want to do it. I really do. And I respect it. I would, of course, love to see them like anybody else. I would do it. But I understand why, of all people, you know, he would. I mean, they could drop their tuning down a little bit if they wanted to. But I think Robert would probably want to do it the way he did it back in the day, and realizing he's, you know, he doesn't need to do that anymore. He's moved on. And that's the thing. He's moved on.
Right.
I don't even think I remember interviews with him. He's gone on to different phases of his life, and he doesn't want to come back to that. It's like, I guess think of it like an actor. If an actor moves on out of a role, he doesn't want to be typecast.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I think maybe that's what he's doing, really. I think he wants to be something different. And so he's progressing, and we're just not caught up with him yet. I really do believe that.
Let me throw that at you, then. You have been doing Jimmy Page for almost 20 years. Now, obviously, you're a gifted guitar player. What about the inner musician in Brian? Do you want to do original music? Do you see yourself getting past the Jimmy Page thing and releasing your own stuff and maybe forging a career with your own identity?
I do, actually. Ironically, I've been crafting some original work now. And while I've been on the road and while I've been doing stuff, I've been thinking about all of that. And I get ideas. And before I was kind of like in the, I'll never be as good as, and I shut myself down before I even start. And I was reading somewhere where don't do that to yourself because, you know, your subconscious or your mind, your creative side will
will create something, you know, don't go into edit mode yet. Just get it out there. And just I'm doing like a lot of stream of conscious laying down ideas. And I've been sharing them with people. Ironically, I've been sharing them with people that have been in the music industry and successful. And they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. You had to do something with that. So
what is your sound? What is your sound as opposed to the Zeppelin sound when you write a song?
It's definitely hard rock. But I would say it's more of an open feel to it. I have the influence of some jazz and some blues and definitely some rock, and it's in that realm somewhere.
Okay.
I'd say it's in the same galaxy as Led Zeppelin, but not in the same solar system, not in the same planet.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's definitely in the same area, but it's different. It is different. I do sense the influences. The other thing, too, is I would start to write something. I'm like, it sounds like Led Zeppelin would do that. And I don't want to do that.
Right.
Because people will think I'm Greta Van Fleet.
I was just going to ask you that. What do you think of those guys? You were talking earlier about how cool it is that some young artists come up and say, oh, we really love Zeppelin. But they're on their third album now. I can see the first album being derivative. But by the third album, you should have your own fingerprints.
I think... I kind of agree with what Jason said. It was kind of a mistake in marketing to call them the next Led Zeppelin. I really do, because I don't think they sound like Led Zeppelin. I think they sound like Greta Van Fleet, and I think they sound great. I mean, they're a positive, high-energy, great band. Why compare them to an iconic band like Led Zeppelin when they're not? I mean, they're great. They're really great. I just think, I sat there listening to it, people say, oh, this guy sounds just like Robert Plant, but honestly, and I don't mean this in a bad way, he kind of reminded me of early Geddy Lee off early Rush albums.
Okay, I can hear that.
More of that tone. And so, I mean, that's, wow. So you may not sound like one iconic singer. You sound like a different iconic singer. That's mm-hmm. not bad in this day and age, is it? You know, but I think they were, even they themselves have said, please stop comparing us to these guys. We're not them. We're ourselves. So I think they're great. I do. I really think it's, to see some kid out there and play music like that in this day and age, it's really, really cool.
Right. I agree.
I think anybody else is really doing it.
I think that is the saving grace. And in today's world, all the pop music, dance music is all studio driven, synthesized, computer driven. They're actually picking up instruments, learning to play and doing it. And if it is a little derivative, who cares? Because we all stole from Chuck Berry anyway.
Exactly. Or Elvis. Take your pick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Either one. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, I didn't get it until I went to Graceland and saw Elvis's outfit. And I'm like, wow, they really do remind me of another guitar player that I, you know, do my tribute to. Because Page was a huge fan of Elvis Presley.
Right.
Baby, Let's Play House is what he heard, which got him started on playing the guitar.
Right.
He just dug that. So, and Robert Plant was Elvis, you know, with the mic. You know, it's like when I watched him, it kind of hit me this epiphany that Jimmy Page is like Elvis would be with the guitar, and Robert Plant would be like Elvis with the microphone on stage. And they owned that stage, and their movements, their mannerisms, the things they do, it was like watching a double Elvis moment in a hard rocking band with a drummer that could, you know, hit Buddy Rich, you know, riffs, you know, drum patterns and stuff, and then a bass player that's got that soulful, unbelievable, you know Charles Mingus bass lines. No wonder they're such a powerhouse band.
Right.
You know, how can you go wrong with something like that?
Right. Speaking, jump back to Greta one more minute, do you remember back in the day there was another band that they called the New Led Zeppelin, and it sunk them like an anchor, and that was Kingdom Come with Get It On.
I saw them in concert, man.
They were a great band.
They were so close to Led Zeppelin. I heard that Jimmy wanted them shut down because they were so, spot on. They were closer than Greta. Like I say, Greta sounds like them, like themselves. But Kingdom Come sounded, they were just so close to Led Zeppelin, it was scary, I thought.
I thought they were such a good band, and it was a shame that bit them in the ass, so to speak.
I think it was too early.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Bonham just passed, it was in the 80s, latter part of the 80s, right? Just go maybe into the 90s.
Yep.
And, you know, Zeppelin still influenced 50 years later. So, you know, when you think about that, there's a time and a place, and that was not the time. Great band, wrong timing, I would say. But they were good. They were really good. Well, I saw them at Monsters of Rock, and I was blown away. They played with Van Halen and Metallica and the Scorpions. They were amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, we're just about out of time. I do want to get to Heartbreaker. We got about 5 minutes left. Gives us about 30 more seconds to talk. So is there anything we haven't talked about you want to let people know? And again, you can find more about the group at NoQuarterLegacyBand.com. NoQuarterLegacyBand.com. Go there and find out more. And all the dates are there. You got Wisconsin coming up, lots of other stuff. But what have we not talked about that you'd like to let know?
Oh, I would. Gosh, it was such. I mean, you did a great job on this, man. I mean, wow, I feel like we covered a lot. I would just say that for those fans who are, I'd say for those who are wondering, come out and check it out and see for yourself. Don't, you know, this is great that you're hearing it. And thank you for playing, you know, the cuts we've done. We put a lot of time into that, and thank you for that. We love what we do. I guarantee that people who come out, if they're fans of Led Zeppelin like we are, they're going to have a good time. It's always a great energy in the room. And, it's an onward journey for us. We're just scratching the scratch. We're just getting started. And what's cool is Chicago is the start of our tour that's covering the, you know, going all the way back to Seattle, Washington. Hmm. So this is the start. We start in Chicago and work our way back. So we're thrilled. We're thrilled to be here. And we thank you for the time.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Hard Rock Cafe, Chicago, 63 West Ontario Street. 9 p.m. it starts and goes till whenever they run out of steam. Or songs, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Very true.
Keep up with the band at NoQuarterLegacyBand.com. Brian, thank you, and be safe on the road, my friend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Here is No Quarter, a final time, and Heartbreaker on Midwest Beats.